Which hand is the candy in? I'm sorry. You can have that one, Chris. Okay. Let's try it again here. What hand is it in, Barb? Oh, I'm sorry. It's in that hand. But there was in this one and this hand, too. So tell you what, you guys can both have a candy. Try it one more time. There you go. Okay. Let's close in prayer. And we'll just... There is hopefully a point to my madness here, but if you're good throughout the service, you can all come and get a candy afterwards. So, this morning's Bible reading, I don't know, my ear grew when I was out west or what's going on with this thing. So, the Advent reading was about hope today. The gift that we're going to look at a number of gifts over the next several weeks. And today's gift is the gift of expectancy. Hope is an optimistic attitude of the mind based on an expectation of some positive circumstances related to events and circumstances in one's hope that might be found in a word or a promise that someone has made to you. Chances are someone in your lifetime has made a promise to you. Especially when it comes to Christmas. I remember that there was the promise that was made that if I didn't behave, that I wouldn't get anything at Christmas. I didn't behave, but my parents were gracious, and I still did get something. But there's oftentimes a hope that we want to experience. There's a hope that we want to experience because a promise has been made to us. And we live with that expectancy that we're going to see it happen. This year already, you've probably heard the words Christmas spirit. It gets talked about at length. And a lot of times we wonder what that Christmas spirit really is. You look at it and you try to put meaning to Christmas spirit. And chances are you're going to equate it to caroling. You're going to decorations, to gift giving. The Christmas spirit can be a time when you're kind to people, to one another. It's doing good things for people. But as I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, when we're looking at this gift of expectancy today, I wonder if we can consider Christmas spirit and the spirit of expectancy in the same light. In our reading, we were reminded that Advent means arrival. It means the coming of Christ into this world. The dad in this video gets Advent. He might not realize it, but it's what he's doing. You see, Advent means arrival. And the season is all about getting ready for the arrival of Jesus. Celebrate his birth. And for some, as we have faith in him, Advent is a reminder that the promise that God the Father made that he would send his Son into the world as the Messiah was followed with the promise that Jesus uttered that he would return, that he was going to prepare a place. So when we celebrate Advent, I believe that his coming can be reflected in the experience for some people, and hopefully that will be our prayer this year, that they will experience the arrival, the coming of the Savior that was born so many years ago in Bethlehem. But for those who walk in faith, I believe that we need to be reminded that there is a promise that Jesus is returning. And when we celebrate Advent, we are celebrating his second coming. Not coming as a baby, but he's coming as our coming king. And so there is this idea of an expectancy for those who have faith in Christ. When you're watching the video, chances are, if you're like me, you're probably thinking, if I was to do that in my house, where would I hide it? Where would I hide the baby Jesus? And I think as we look at it, I think it's appropriate that at this time of year that we ask ourselves, what is it that we are expecting? What is it that we're desiring to experience this year as we celebrate Christmas? Do any of you ever hide your kids or your grandchildren's gifts? Any of you ever done that? Any of you ever done what our children still enjoy to this day is hiding clues? Like this, the Advent, where there was a piece of paper there and there was a clue. It's one of the things that we've done several times during the years. And there are clues that are given. There's a gift that they are searching for, but there are clues that are going to lead them to the gift. And the clues are not riddles. The clues are worded in such a way that if they follow the clues, they're going to find what they're seeking after. And it's something that I enjoy doing. We've got a few little nephews now, and you know, there's so many times during the year, whether it's birthday or whether it's an Easter egg or whether it's Christmas, and those times when there's the hiding of something that was going to be found and a clue that's going to lead them, and there's a pursuit and there's a seeking after it. And it's interesting because when they start to get into it, they're seeking with everything, every fiber in their being. They desperately want to find that gift. And we saw the children that were looking in this video for the hidden Jesus. And I wonder this morning if that isn't something that we need to look at, where the Father says it just seemed that, you know, the Christmas, the nativity scene just became I don't want to say mundane, but it became common. And I looked, you know, I'm in amazement of this display here, you know, that was put together for us. And when I look at something like this that was put together with a creative mind behind it, I think of our God, and I think of how creative, how fresh He wants our faith to be when we're celebrating this year. There's nothing normal about the birth of Jesus Christ into this world. There's nothing normal about Emmanuel, God with us, God who drew near to us. And so I hope that would be the experience of this year, that we would have hearts that want to search and experience Jesus in a new way. I talked about the clues that are given in a hunt to find something. The clue that was given in the video, the clues that I give our children when they're searching for something. And as we look at the scriptures, we might not refer to them as clues, but it seems that there certainly was direction that was given to the in the Gospel of Luke, where the birth of Jesus is recorded. The messenger of God gave these clues to the shepherds who were out in the fields and with their flocks on that special night. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, we read, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Listen carefully. For I proclaim to you the good news that brings great joy to all people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger.'" And what a timely treasure this was for these ordinary shepherds as they were just going about their everyday living out in the fields, taking care of their flocks. And then suddenly these words were given to them. And they were gone searching. God the Father had made the arrangements for the gift of His one and only Son to be found by those who would seek after Him. The shepherds had a choice. They had a choice to marvel that all of a sudden this message came to them, and they could sit there and say, "Well, it's another night, but it was a little different." Or they could say, "Let's go check this out. This is too good for us not to act upon it." And there was a seeking. And they go and they find that what had been told to them was true. But it's incredible because the gift from the Heavenly Father was good news for all people. And after the shepherds received these clues of the good news, they went, and there was a level of expectancy that caused them to do more than merely marvel at what they just heard, but to seek Him out and to find that it was exactly as it had been told to them. And not only that, but they left and they were worshiping. They were changed. And God was true to His word. As the angels had brought this word to them, the shepherds found what they would seek after. You know, God desires that we seek after Him. And it's no different than it was 2,000 years ago. In this day that we live in, people still need a Savior. And they try in all different ways, in all different shapes, to find a Savior that will fit what they feel that they need. But there's only one Savior that's going to meet the needs of the emptiness of humanity. And so this Christmas, maybe God wants us to be used by Him to encourage people to check out the news of the New Testament, the words that were written there. God's not into leading us on a wild goose chase. The shepherds went. They hurried off. They located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in the manger. There was no double meanings here. There was no riddles. There wasn't like if you went this way or that way. There was go and find it exactly as it's being told to you. And I believe God's word is true. I believe it's clear. And I believe the Holy Spirit illuminates and makes our minds clear to His truth. And so we see that God is leading here. There's an expectancy that's been going on. And for years, the children of Israel have been waiting. They've been waiting. In fact, for 400 years, a prophet hadn't spoken. But many years before that, there was the promise that God would send His Son, Jesus, into this world. And so this Christmas, is it any different than it was 2,000 years ago? Is this world any different than it was 2,000 years ago? Yes, it is. Because of the impact Jesus Christ had in this world. But it's not any different in the fact that men and women and boys and girls of all ages still need to experience the Savior that was born at Christmas. I was playing this game here earlier, and some of you have played it, and some of you no doubt have had the experience that when you're putting the candy behind your back, I mean, my grandfather used to play the game, and he kept his hands behind his back. And so if I chose the right, the candy was always going to be in the left. If I chose the left, it would always be, and this went on forever and ever. And I think finally, my grandmother was probably the one that says, Alex, give him the candy. You know, it's like, but you know what? I think people at times in their lives, they're searching. And you know what? I think that people think that that God plays games. I think there are times that when we look at the game, you know, that it's an illustration that some people, you know, they play back and forth behind their back and they're not given the candy. And the lesson is, you know what, life is full of disappointments. Don't trust anybody. The greatest thing about the Scripture is the integrity behind the one who's made the promises. A God who is unchanging. A God who is pure. I could change my mind. God gave promises, and He hasn't reneged on them. I changed my mind. No, God is not like that. And while some people explain away life that, you know, it's full of disappointments, God says to seek after me. Seek after me, and you'll find me to be true. In James chapter 1, verse 17, there's a verse there that talks about our great gift-giving God. It says, all generous giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or the slightest hint of change. That phrase, God is called the Father of lights, that phrase is an ancient Jewish term referring to God and describing Him for the unique creative ability to design the heavens and the stars, the sun and the moon, that shine and reflect His creative beauty in the sky. The Father of Lights description ties back to the good gift of light that our Heavenly Father gave on day one of creation found in Genesis. The Father in this video sees the holiday as just another hurdle, something to get through until He finally says, no, not this year. This year is going to be fun. The world that we live in needs the light. Well, we have all sorts of light. But just as Jesus came to expose the light, to be the light that would shine through the darkness of this world, today we need the light. We need the one who is light. Our Heavenly Father is the giver of good gifts. He is one who gives what we need. Out of the character and the nature of our Heavenly Father, we receive love. One of the most natural things for a good dad to do for his kids is to give them what they need. And that picture is how Jesus helped people understand who God is. He is good. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, says, are there any among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if any asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus helps people to see how good, gracious, and what a great giver of gifts our Heavenly Father is. And one of the greatest and clearest demonstrations of the part of God's nature and as a giver of those good gifts is found in John 3. And I want to read verses 6 through 27 to you right now. They're familiar to many of us. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their fear that their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. The nature and character of the Father of Lights is that he is a giver of good gifts. He loved the world. He loves us. And he demonstrated this in giving his Son. His one and only Son, named Jesus, who was born of a Virgin Mary in the manger in Bethlehem as the Savior of the whole world. That is good news. It was good news then, and it's good news now. But again, this is great joy to all people. We read that in verse 10 of chapter Luke's second chapter. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." So we live in a world that desires to know peace, want hope, want to know love, joy, the things that seem to be centered in the Christmas message. It's a time when if I was asking, I will this coming week or the week after in the chapel for the Niagara Ice Dogs, okay, what's Christmas about? And there will be a number that will say, oh, Jesus was born there. Which Jesus is that? Which Jesus is that? Is it the Jesus that comes out of the box at this time of the year? Is it the Jesus that scratches the itch to a particular fancy that an individual has? Or is it the Jesus that is the scriptures make so clear? The one who is the way, the one who is the truth, the one who is the life, the one who is the bread of life to the hungry. He's the water of life to the thirsty. He is exactly what we need. But the question will be for many people is, you know, it's not so much that you're celebrating Jesus, is what Jesus are you celebrating? Which Jesus? There's a story told of a woman named Charlotte who ran a Christian preschool nursery. She brought a plush Jesus toy in to her class. He was happy. He was smiling. He was all squishy and gushy. He's the way a cuddly toy should be. And some of the parents objected. They thought this was inappropriate. Jesus shouldn't be happy, he shouldn't be soft, he should be ceramic, he should be colder looking, for whatever reasons. They argued against the purchase of this soft, plushy, squishy, happy, smiling Jesus. Well, Charlotte didn't hesitate when opposition arose. She knew the question she needed to ask the parents. And she asked, "What Jesus do you want your kids to know? The breakable Jesus on the high shelf who's always looking down on them that can't be touched, or the Jesus who's huggable and sits with them on the comfy couch, the one they can talk to, the one that comforts them when they're hurt, the one they tell all their secrets to?" You see, one is untouchable, and the other one is approachable. One you really shouldn't get too close to, and the other one says, "Come to me." There is a hope that continues to fester in so many hearts of people in our community. And they don't know what they're looking for. And I'm not so sure when the shepherds went, they knew exactly what they would find. But God gave them the news, gave them the clues, gave them the direction, and they went and they found it exactly to be as it had been told to them. the Savior of the world, came into this world. He was the light of the world. He came to drive out the darkness. In a sense, on that first Christmas night in Bethlehem, God the Father gave the gift we read about in day one of creation. Let there be light. Oh, there was the sun shining, and there were stars that were twinkle at night, and there's the moon and all those things. But in the particular moment when Jesus is sent into the world, God again says, let there be light, and it's my son. And he would be one who would be found to be true and to be a hope and love and joy and peace as he drew near to mankind. Jesus desires to shine forth in this day. And if you're not aware of this, he uses you, followers of Jesus Christ, to shine his light. There is darkness around us. Sandy talked about the darkness that is in Mexico. You don't have to go to Mexico to see darkness. It's around us. The thing about it is a lot of people don't know they're in darkness. And so we that know the light, can we let our light shine that there would be a hope for those who we come into contact with, that are in our community, that are in our families? And in doing so, may there be an expectancy that God will hear our cries and will answer our prayers on their behalf, and that there would be many in this Christmas season that would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and make him their Lord. How can a person come back home to God, the Father? Well, Jeremiah chapter 29 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Interesting, when this was written for nearly 600 years before the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem, the people of God, also known as Israelites, were living in a foreign land after they had been defeated by their enemies, uprooted from their homes and familiar surroundings, and made to live in a land that felt oppressive, lonely, and dark. And even though they felt abandoned and far away from God in a dark place in their story, God sends a messenger named Jeremiah with good news to these people. Again, I've read those verses, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, but the verses that preceded are also very common and well known to many of us. For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. When you call out to me and come to me in prayer, I will hear your prayers. And again, when you will seek me in prayer and worship, and you will find me available to you. If you seek me with all your heart and soul, those words that Jeremiah spoke from God to his people were a gift filled with great expectancy that brought great hope to these people who needed such a good gift in that season of life. Their own sinfulness, their own rebelliousness had led them into this plight, but God was faithful and promised that he would continue to be with them. God the Father gives good gifts. And this Christmas, we celebrate the greatest gift of all, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, born into this world. While Jeremiah put it one way, that you will find me when you seek me with all your heart, Jesus said these words, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds him, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Again, there is a seeking. It goes back to those children in the nativity scene. Jesus was missing and they were determined to find him. And I think in the world that we live in, there are people that are searching, and the clue that God is going to use is you and me. You get that? The clue that God is going to use is you and me to lead them to the point where they're going to ask, they're going to seek, they're going to knock, and praying faithfully, I hope that we have the experience that we will see these people come to experience the light who exposes the darkness, to experience Jesus as the Savior, to find these things in Christ alone. It is an invitation to an advent, the arrival to the coming. Are we willing to see this season differently than other Christmases gone by? Are we willing to seek Jesus with joy instead of obligation? Will we seek him with all our heart? If we do, we will find him. This Christmas, what does God want from you? What does God want from you? God who is self-sufficient in his own existence. God who has no need. How can I even ask the question, what does God want from you? Well, I believe that God wants you to be his messenger. I believe that God wants you to be the one who's going to extend the message of hope this coming Christmas. Give Jesus in deeds and in words. Give Jesus in deeds and in words. Because we come back to that Christmas spirit and we talk about what are some of the things that we equate to Christmas spirit. Well, for some people, and hopefully it won't happen, well, maybe Christmas Eve, it might mean shoveling somebody's driveway. And I know some of you are going, don't be praying for snow. Okay. For some of you, you like to bake. And my door is always open. But, you know, for some of you, it's going to be extension of a gift where you're going to take something over and say, hey, you know what, I did some extra bacon and I thought you'd enjoy it. For some of you, it might be a card. So for some of you, it might be an invitation to a concert, to a dinner. And I'm not sure what that would be, but if we can extend invitation, would we be willing to pray that God, in whatever the act of my, whatever the deed is, might they see love behind it? May you use this to open a door that I might share more with them. But this season, let's plant seeds of hope. Let's plant seeds of hope. Anybody want to plant a seed of hope? I think we can do it. There's two barrels out there that I hope we fill over to overflowing. I'd like to see us do it more than once, too. But for families that are going to receive that food through the ministry of the Salvation Army, and if this isn't news to you, we belong to the same church. There's one church, there's one God, there's one faith, and they worship our God, and we worship their God. So we're going to bless them. And maybe through that today, you don't realize it, but that can of ragu and that bag of spaghetti is going to be seeds of hope that God is going to use. For some of you might attend the concert that Donna talked about earlier. I'm not sure how God's going to use this, but let's plant seeds of hope, and let's have hearts that are filled with expectancy that God is going to use us to take this hope into our community and around the world. Christmas is expectancy. Remember that feeling you used to get as a child? And I know Christmas isn't easy for, there's a lot of memories that are not easy for a lot of people. But for a lot of us, we remember the excitement, the anticipation. We remember the getting, the countdown of the days. We remember what it would be like to stare at the Christmas presents. We remember what it was like to run down the stairs at 2:30 to be told to get back to bed or there wouldn't be any Christmas in the morning. We remember lying in our beds and there was, you remember it? The expectancy? Anybody? Yes, thank you. Praise the Lord. There was an expectancy there. I still love it. I don't know what we did to our kids. I mean, there's probably several things we traumatized them. I don't know. But we had to wake our kids up, you know, to get there. Okay, we'd be sitting there, should we get them up? Get them up. And, you know, finally they get up and there's, and honestly, I think there's more excitement. I still to this day, I love seeing them open the gifts. Especially the gift that I might give them. And how much more does our God the Father, does his heart rejoice when someone opens the gift that he's given? When someone says, here's my heart, Lord Jesus. I would hope that we have an expectancy that this God will hear our cries. Will hear our cries on behalf of our children that are not walking with him. Our parents, our family members, our workers, our co-workers. I'm not sure who it is. But I love this gift of expectancy. Because God was faithful to keep his promise. And I believe that God is still in the business of answering our prayers. And he is faithful. And he does not change. Centuries before the first Christmas ever arrived, God lovingly gave humanity a special promise. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. For centuries, Israel lived in expectancy, awaiting the arrival of the promised Messiah. And just like my parents didn't disappoint me, how much more did God not disappoint in that perfect moment when Jesus would be sent into the world? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son. And the hope that had been given in a promise was realized." It's a hope that we, those who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, for those of us who know him as their Savior and whose desire is that he will be Lord of their lives, God the Father will send his Son into the world as our coming King. You see, I read it and I see that there was, at the fullness, at the right time, God sent his Son into the world. And at the right time, God the Father is going to send his Son back into this world. Is there an expectancy in our faith? We believe that the blessed hope of believers is the imminent return and appearance of Jesus. A hope that allows us to seek after him, expecting one day we will see him face to face. Hope. It's a hope that we can experience, and it's a hope that many people need. And so this Christmas, let's be planters of seeds of hope. And with spirits of expectancy, we'll claim that God will be faithful to his word, and we will see many added to the family of God. Let's pray.